I got in Louis led me into trouble frequently. But Ken somehow or another just escaped all that, and he was just the good kid. I don't think he ever got a whipping, did you? One in his life. One. Can you believe? He pastors a good church in Mechanicsburg, just outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Has done incredibly well there, is well thought of. And I have the greatest of respect to my brother and his family, and we honor them today and want him to come. Whatever's on his heart, he's going to minister to us and speak to our hearts this morning.
Well, thank you, Brother Kramer. And it is good to be in Mount Vernon today with the saints of the Lord. Amen. And to be with God's people. I don't know if I'm getting shorter or this pulpit is getting taller. I don't remember it being this big. I might have to step away from the pulpit so that you can see me. But I am blessed in so many ways. I am blessed by people that are in my life, and my older, considerably older brother is one of those. I was blessed to have two brothers that let their little brother tag along, and I know I've mentioned that before, but I believe that is one of the reasons that I stand here today, that they were willing to let me be there and to let me tag along. I slept in the back of a 63 Ford Falcon many a time on the way home from Sunday night church service, which used to get over way late, and I'd fall asleep in the back seat on the way home, and they'd get me in the house, and I thank God for him. Amen. Used to be people would come up to me and say, are you Dwayne Kramer? Because we looked a little bit alike, I guess. And are you Dwayne's brother? It used to bug me a little bit, but I got over it. And then I realized that it was an honor and a privilege to be identified with a man of God like this. Amen. And so I'm happy to be here with he and his family in this great church with Brother Harry. God bless you, Brother Harry, a great friend, man of God, and I deeply appreciate and love him. And we want to look to the word of the Lord today. If you would join me in your Bibles to the book of Titus, chapter 3, and verse number 3. Titus, chapter 3, and verse number 3. Praise team did awesome today, didn't they? Amen. They were awesome. God bless them. Enjoyed the worship of God's people here today. And the lesson that we were taught this morning in the adult Bible class, that brother did an outstanding job. And in fact, I thought my message today and his aligns itself perfectly together. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. That's a tough verse, isn't it? I'll tell you what. And we want to point to the world and say, well, that must be if somebody says, we ourselves, all right? But after, everybody say, but after. But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What a promise. What a promise. Amen. Anybody glad I didn't quit reading at the end of verse number 3? Aren't you glad I went on? Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for this great promise. You may be seated. God bless you this morning. And I've got a couple of points I want to make along these verses and these lines of scripture reading. And changes is a great thing most all the time. You guys have it figured out here in Ohio, I'm sure, but in Pennsylvania, I always chuckle because every fall and every spring, everybody will look at each other and say, "Isn't the weather strange? The weather's just so odd. It was cold yesterday, and it's warm today," and everybody's always puzzled and perplexed because the weather gets warmer and hotter at this time of the year in varying ways and degrees, and we can't even figure it out. Well, this is the strangest I think I've ever seen the weather, and we're just not used to that kind of a change happening and the way that that flows. And sometimes change that happens in our life is difficult to process and understand. But let me tell you what, there's nothing more beautiful than to see a person that has been in a difficult place like verse number 3 here, and they find their way to the Lord. Amen. And the blood of Jesus covers them, and the work of the cross is made manifest in their life, and they come out of that, as our brother taught us today, that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Those things are passed away, and life does have its way of changing. Let me give you some examples that some of you may be able to relate to, a few scenarios. Listen to these. Jack goes quail hunting before school. He pulls into the parking lot with a shotgun in his gun rack. In 1957, the vice principal comes over, looks at Jack's shotgun, goes to his car, gets his own shotgun out, and shows it to Jack. Now, in 2018, the school goes into complete lockdown. The FBI is called, Jack is hauled off to jail, never sees his truck or his gun again, and the counselors are all called in to help with the traumatization of the school students and their teachers. Different day today. Another scenario, Johnny and Mark, they get into a fist fight after school. The crowd gathers, Mark wins, Johnny and Mark shake hands and end up buddies. Today, the police are called, the SWAT team arrives, they arrest Johnny and Mark, charge them both with assault, both are expelled even though Johnny started it. Next scenario, Jeffrey won't be still in class and he disrupts the other students. Jeffrey is sent to office and he is given a good paddling by the principal. He returns to class, he sits still and doesn't disrupt the class again. Today, Jeffrey is given huge doses of Ritalin. He becomes a zombie. He is tested for ADD. The school gets extra money from the state because Jeffrey has a disability. It's a different day today. There's a lot of changes that happen. But the change that we're focused on today is a very positive thing. Those of you that are here today and you've been in places in life maybe that you would not even want to speak out into this congregation, places that you're not proud of, places that were very difficult, hard, and come out of those things, and you've come into the place, this is the church of the Most High God, a place where you can find forgiveness and healing, and you can find where God can move you from the place of horror that the world projects and puts you in, into a place of beauty and grace and mercy and love, a place where God can change. I said He can change your life. Amen. If I was going to make a title here, it would be like this. It would say, "It just like this." That was then. Thank you. You've been looking at my notes. That was then, this is now. I said, that was then, but this is now. Amen. And knowing that verse number 3 and all of its horror and all that I expressed to you here today tells us about a people that, yes, we once were. A place that we used to be in. Just because you're wearing your beautiful dresses and they're all pretty and your nice suits and ties and you come all fixed up and nice doesn't mean that you didn't come from a place like I read for you here today. The Bible says that we were foolish and we were disobedient and we were deceived. amen, that we were enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures and sin in our life. And the myth of sin is that it doesn't enslave you, but let me tell you, sin will enslave you. Sin will destroy you. It will destroy your relationships. It will ruin your body. It will take away every promise and good thing that you ever hoped for. But in Jesus Christ, I have a hope. I have a hope in this life, and I have a hope in eternal life. Amen. I found that when I came to God, and He saved me, and He washed me, and I found a place that is free from all this. That is not a place that I want any of us to be in today. And we can all be lulled into a place that we don't realize just how ugly the sin is in our life. We pacify it. We let it go. We let it slide. We accept some things that we should never accept. God wants to set us free. And who the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. Amen. But a lot of times we let those things just sort of lay there. In June of 1991, the second largest volcanic eruption of the 20th century took place in the Philippines. And this volcano erupted in a horrific way, and there were up to 800 people that died almost immediately. 100,000 became homeless. And this huge volcano displaced an entire military base, was forced to abandon it. Property damage was estimated to be in the billions. This is back in 1991. And it was all because this volcano, which had been a sleeping giant, it had not erupted in 600 years. Dormant, silent, nothing from this volcano for 600 years. But on this particular day in 1991, it chose to erupt again. When someone was asked, that was of an authority from the Philippine Department of Volcanic Observation, this was his statement. When a volcano is silent for many years, our people forget that it's a volcano, and they begin to treat it like a mountain. They forget that it's a volcano, and they begin to treat it like it's just a mountain. Let me tell you, folks, people of God, you cannot afford to let things lay in your life, situations lay there, what you believe to be dormant, never to bother you again. We need to realize that we've got to get all of those things out, all of those things under the blood, all of those things away from us. If you're here today, don't let anything lay festering in your life. Get rid of it. Put it under the blood of Jesus. Let the Lord make you a new creature. Let your life be a shining example of what it was back then, but what it is today. Amen. You see, I'm not like I used to be. I'm not what I was. Amen. But by the power of God, I have been made free in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We can never talk enough about baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. We can never talk enough about the power of God through the gift of the Holy Ghost that has the ability to change us, our very nature, who we were. In verse number 3, he said, after listing all of these ugly things, he said, but after that, the kindness of God, our Savior, amen, appeared toward man. That was then, Brother Harry, but this is now. Amen. Amen. Don't judge me for what I used to be. Amen. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Don't judge me by the fact that I used to be in sin and I used to be lost and in the world. That was then, but this is now. This is my opportunity in Jesus Christ. And I've come into the place of the Most High God to celebrate that very existence that I was once like that. But today, God has saved me and redeemed me by His blood. It's only in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. That is the only way that I can ever find my salvation. The Bible says that this new creature that we're made in Christ Jesus is afforded us by all the good things of God. It all comes from him, doesn't it? Amen. What I am today, amen, is only afforded me by Calvary and the blood. There was a story given, and our family has always enjoyed Westerns, and over the years, we've read many of them. And these fictional Westerns, mostly by Louis L'Amour, but they're great old stories. Some of you love that kind of thing. And the story was told about the man that was going across the prairie, and the Indians were hot on his trail, and they had wounded him. He had lost his horse. He was wounded and bleeding and broken, and his leg was damaged. He could barely move. He's crawling across the prairie. There's about 50 Indians hot on his trail just right behind him, and he had lost his gun, and he had no ammunition. There was nothing that he could do to defend or protect himself, and he had curled himself up there in a little piece of grass, and he was circled by all the Indians. They were just feet away from him, ready to take his life. And somebody asked the question and said, in this most dire of circumstance, and this most horrible of situations, who in the world can save this man? Who's going to save him? I mean, this is horrible. He is at wit's end. He is at a place where he has no hope. There's no possibility that he's going to be saved with all of these things stacked against him. And there is only one person that can save him. Who can save this man? The author. That's the only person can save him. You see, the author can write whatever he wants to in the next chapter. Right? Amen. The author. In fact, I think the scripture says it well when it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Your life's a mess. I'm going to tell you, the only person that's going to save you today, and it's going to be the author and the finisher of your faith. You're only going to find it in Jesus Christ. Your only hope's going to be in him. Amen. He can write into your life whatever needs to be written into your life. You need healing? He can write healing into your life. You need deliverance? He can write deliverance into your life. You need redemption? He'll write redemption. He's the author. He is the finisher of our faith. He is the hope of my salvation. Amen. What do I have to fear when the author is penning the path of my life? Whom shall I fear? And from whom shall I be afraid? Because you see, as ugly as it all was, that was then. This is now. That was then, and this is now. In the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this same thing is spoken over and over again throughout the Word of God. He said, know ye not that the righteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Here we go with this ugly list again that everybody cringes at. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such, I'm still reading from the scripture, and such were some of you. He said that was then. That was then. Amen. That was your past. That was B.C. That was before Christ. That was before you ever knew what God would do in your life, and the blood of Jesus would cover you and change you and redeem you. Amen. He said that was the way you were. That was then. He said, but let me tell you what now is. And such were some of you, but you're washed and you're sanctified and you're justified in the name of Jesus. Amen. By the Spirit of our God. I want you to know, friend, today, you do not have to live in the past and the agony of yesterday. You don't have to live with the disappointments of sin and the world. That can be your then. Let me tell you about your now. Your now is, I've got a bright future. Your now has a hope of eternal life. Your now has the hope that God will change your circumstance. He is the author. He's going to be able to write things into your life that you never dreamed were possible. And that's the truth. You see, that was then, but this is now. I think the writer of the old song that says, the blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Today I'm telling you, my then, amen, it is so much different. What I used to be and what I once was, God has changed everything. If you're here today and you don't know what it is to know Jesus Christ, you're still living in the yesterday and the horrors. That was then. My life is so difficult. I'm struggling with all the sins and the issues of my life. Your past can be markedly different from this very moment forward. That can be then. But what it can be right now, friend, could be so different that you could not even begin to imagine until you have experienced the life-changing move of God in your life. Amen. Amen. Job said it. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come. Amen. I tell you that my past does not have to dictate my future. My yesterday will not pin the life that I live as I move down the road of life. I will let Jesus Christ be the deciding factor in my life. Amen. You see, that was then, but this is now. Amen. As we stand together today, this Sunday morning in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, as we all stand. In Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, the man that's teaching our Bible class today, he was a man that years ago, 30 years ago, he would reach across, and when he woke in the morning, he would take the whiskey bottle from off his nightstand. First thing he did before he climbed out of bed, drink whiskey. I don't know much about that, but that must be a horrible thing. For the first thing that you do in the morning is to go to the alcohol bottle. 30 years ago, he was bound. He was restricted. His life was incarcerated by the addiction of alcoholism. But today, that man stood behind the pulpit and he taught a lesson. I can tell you already without even hearing it. It was a lesson from God given by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That was then. But the lesson he taught today, 30 years later, still redeemed by the blood of Jesus, is now. The lady that is the church secretary, back doing the work, she used to be bound by drugs. But about 30, 40 years ago, she came to the Lord. She stood and testified so many times about how she could not handle the addiction in her life, and the path that her life was taking was horrible. But all that was then. Today, she stands with her husband. Let me tell you about him. He just got out of jail, served about 18 years for armed robbery. I can tell you this Sunday morning, that man stood at the front of that sanctuary, worshiping God with all his heart. That was then, but this is now. Already this Sunday morning, I can tell you, 300 miles from this place right here, I know people that have been bound in all kinds of places in life that the blood of Jesus has redeemed them. They were baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and they were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it has kept them for 30 years. Now they see what they were, and they know what they had lived in then. But this is now. If you don't have this, if you don't know this, if you're struggling this morning, I want to open the altar to you. I want to give you the opportunity to be able to let God change your life. You're miserable, I understand. You're going through a struggle, I understand that. But I also understand that you don't have to leave here the same way you came. That was your then. This can be your now. This can be the change that you're looking for. The life that you need. The change that God wants to give everybody that is here in this sanctuary today. As we sing, I open the altar for you to come. You want to get baptized? Come on, you can get baptized. You want the Holy Ghost? Come on, you get the Holy Ghost. You need to be set free? God will set you free at this altar. Let's come to this altar. God bless you.
That Jesus shed for me.
God, I come to give myself to you.
Oh, Lord, I thank you.
Amen. Oh, Lord, set us free this morning. Lord, set us free today. The blood
that gives me strength.
The blood that gives me strength.
From day to day.
It will never, never, never lose. It will never, ever lose its power.
Its power.
Oh, God, I need you today. I won't leave here like I came. I won't leave here like I came. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It flows to the lowest valley. God, do His work in your heart.
It's
hallelujah, hallelujah.
That gives
it gives me
strength.
From
day to day, it will never lose its power. Gives me strength from day
doubts and it calms my fears. And that same blood, it dries all my tears. It's the blood that gives me strength.
Journeyman painter in the Los Angeles area. His name was Angelo Serrano. He played a guitar. He'd been shackled with all kind of habits. Came to Spirit-Filled Drug Center in Lincoln, Nebraska. After he received the Holy Ghost and God delivered him from all that stuff, he'd get that guitar out and he'd strum it and did a pretty good job of it. And I'm sure we don't know the words. I wish I did. I'd even try singing this morning. It says, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, I don't go there anymore. And he'd sing that song and tears run down his face and he'd strum that guitar. Thanks to Calvary, I'm just not the guy I used to be. Amen. God makes a difference. Where's Daryl at? Last Sunday we had the privilege of seeing several folks get baptized, Daryl being one of those.
You want me to say something? Well, I'd like to thank everybody for their support, for not judging me until the point where I got my baptism. You always welcome me with cookies and delicious treats. I'd like to let you know how much I appreciate that. Thank you.
If fish will work for Jesus, cookies will work for us. It'll work. 5:30 will be the prayer room. 6 o'clock we'll come in for a night of worship and singing and praise. Please come back and be a part of that. We'll have a great time together. God bless you.